Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Nedarim Ayin Gimel. We are holding on the third line from the top of the Amud Bay, Rami Bar Chama. Here comes question number two from Rami Bar Chama. The first question we discussed yesterday, which was based and focused on the pasuk Vishama Isha. Her husband will hear the nether, and that gives him the opportunity to either confirm or annul, either Mekayim or Mefer. And the question was whether he has to actually, you know, hear the nether before doing the hafara. And by the way, some of Farshim learned that when we say Shmi'a in this context, it means actually hearing it with one's ear, either from her directly or others who relate the nether to him. Interesting idea, which is based on the Gemara coming up soon. In any case, it's a question of how to interpet this pasuk. Vishama Isha is dafka. First he has to hear, and then, you know, that enables him to do the hafara, or lav dafka. A fellow can just get up one day and say, look, I'm not sure what's going on in her life, whether she has nedarim or she doesn't have, just in case, I'm making an hafara. Can you do that? That was the question we posed yesterday. We tried to bring some rayas, which were not really successful. Here comes question number two, which is sort of based on question number one. Boi Rami Bar Chama, Cheirish, a fellow who's deaf. Now, he's not deaf-mute, which is typically what Cheirish means in the Lashon of Gemara and Mishnayos, because in that case he would be totally disqualified from doing anything. He's Potter from mitzvahs, etc. So we're not speaking about an absolute cheresh. We're speaking about a fellow who's simply deaf. So he cannot actually hear words of nether, but he can speak, which would allow him to do the hafara, which requires speech. He has to say mufarlach. So he can speak, but he cannot hear. Cheresh. Maushi yafali ishte. Can this fellow do hafara? What can be the problem? Now, intim tzolema baal mefer b'li shmiya, if we shall assume a premise as follows, that regarding the previous question, question number one posed by Rami Bar Chama, we will perhaps suggest that, yeah, you don't actually need to hear the nether, you can do the afara even without any knowledge of the nether, even without actually hearing the nether. If that is so, intim tzolema baal mefer b'lo yishmiya. You know why that would work? Mishum debar mishmahu. Let's keep in mind, this fellow has potential to do shmiya. He can hear. He's a healthy fellow. So in that case, the Torah says, shmiya is not critical. You can do the hafar even without actually hearing. But aval cheresh de la bar mishmahu, but a cheresh who cannot possibly hear. Perhaps he is disqualified from doing hafar. Now, what would be the difference? The answer is Hainud Rav Zeira, in line with Rav Zeira's concept. Amar Rav Zeira. We seem to have a contradiction. One Mishnah says a part of the mincha process is belila. You take flour and oil and you mix them up. But the Mishnah says, loy bolal, if he failed to do belila, failed to mix them up, kosher. So mixing the ingredients is not critical to the kashrus of the mincha. But then we have another Mishnah which says, don't bring too much flour in one bowl because it cannot be mixed properly with the oil. One second. If mixing is not required, it's not critical, it's not mi'akeh, then who cares? Whether you're bringing too much flour which cannot be mixed, you don't need to mix it. And Reb Zeira answers something very, very fundamental. True. Perhaps if you left out the mix, if you didn't do belila, the mincha is fine. But if the mincha cannot accommodate belila, there's something wrong with the configuration, with the proportions, with the material, so to speak, of the mincha. That mincha is not kosher. Big difference between just omitting the actual act of belila or a case where it cannot accommodate belila, which is worse. Damar b'zera, kala roi labila. When you have everything in place, all ingredients are there in proper proportion, which can be mixed. Kalaroy lebila. In that case, we say you're right. Ain bila makeves boy. Omitting belila is not critical. That's because it can potentially be mixed. So you have the right material. You have the right ingredients in the right proportions. But when there's too much flour there, and it cannot be mixed at all. If it's not eligible for bila, in that case we say bila makeves boy, the fact that you can't do bila disqualifies the mincha. Rashbam and Bava Basra says it's as though you brought the wrong material, as though you brought barley flour instead of wheat flour. You know what I mean? It's just the wrong material, the wrong ingredient, the wrong proportion. Let's apply that over here to a foras nedar. True, perhaps, in actuality, Shmi'a is not me'akiv. That's because he can. He can hear. But if he's a cherish, who cannot even possibly get involved in that? Maybe it's worse. Oy Dilma, that's one side of the coin. Oy Dilma, or perhaps you can say, makes no difference. V'shama yisho, like me'akiv. When the pasuk says the husband will hear, it's not critical, it's just illustrating your typical situation, but you don't actually have to hear or be able to hear. As long as he's notified in writing, whatever, is okay. Or even if he doesn't know about it at all, assuming that you don't have to have the hafara after Shmia. So that's the question. Is a cherish eligible for hafara? Amar Rav Tashma, we have a raya that he is not. The pasuk says, Vashama Yisha, her husband must hear. Prat Leishas cherish, as opposed to a fellow who's deaf, as opposed to a wife of a cherish, whose nedarim cannot be addressed by this husband. Shema, we know we have a raya clearly from here that a cherish doesn't work. Here comes another question. Iboilu, Baal Malsha Yafer L'shtei Noshem V'Vasachas. A fellow has two wives who both made nedarim, and he's short on words. He's just going to make one big afara for both. He'll say, Mufar Lachem. Does that work? Or does he have to address each wife individually? The pasuk says that the husband will be Yani Oysa. He'll disrupt her nether. Oysa. Individually. Oysa Dafka. I love Dafka. Is it to be taken literally? One lady at a time? Or perhaps it's just a way of expression, but you can do a bunch at once. Amar Vina Toshma will bring a raya from the following halach. Tanakama says, Ein Mashkin Shtei Soites Ka'achas. A fellow has two wives who have strayed, who must be serve the Mayim HaMa'arim, which will determine their status. So he has two wives in the same boat. You cannot offer them the water together as one. Why? Because the guilty wife will perhaps, you know, she'll be reinforced emotionally by her counterpart who's not admitting to any wrongdoing. That's going to embolden her as well. She'll be embarrassed, she'll hesitate to admit to her about her wrongdoing, and therefore better, you know, don't get two ladies involved at once. Do it individually. Give each one, you know, individual treatment. That's Tanakama. Rabbi Da'imer, lo min Hashem uzeh. That's not the reason for this halacha. So shame in this case means the reason. This is not the svara. We're concerned about, you know, them reinforcing each other emotionally. No. Elam shem shenemar, the pasuk says that you must give each one separately. Vishka with a mapake. He will give her to drink. We learn from there, Isha levada. Each woman on her own. So the Ran brings, at a first glance, initially it would seem that our question of whether Isha is dafka or lav dafka, individually or collectively, is really based on this machlaikas. Rabbi Yehuda insists each one separate. Tanakama seems to disagree. Theoretically, you can do both of them all together. The Torah doesn't limit it to each one separately. It's just we're concerned about libo gaspa, about that emotional, you know, connection and reinforcement. So that's the Tanakama, the Rabbanan. And according to them, it would seem that theoretically, you can give two Noshim at once, and likewise by Yafaras and Dharm, you can be made for both Nadharm at once. But the Ran brings another pshat, that in actuality, if we take a closer look at that Mishnah in Soita, based on the Gemara in Soita, we will see that the Tanakama there really, really is also based on this drush of Oysa Levada. It's just that the Tanakhama happens to be Shitas Rabbi Shimon, who's Dorish Tama Dekra, who elaborates on the reasons for a given halacha, and draws conclusions based on that reason. So basically, according to the Iran second shot, everybody in that mission agrees that Min HaTorah, you only feed one Isha at a time. It's just that the Tanakhama gives us a reason. You know why? Because the Libo Gaspo, because the Turks is concerned that it won't have the right, it won't, you know, have be as effective when it's done together as if it's done separately. And then Afkamina would be, let's say, you see that the Isha is quivering from fear, she's not exuding any sort of easiness and confidence. So, in that case, we're not concerned that she's being reinforced by her friend and being too comfortable in her surroundings. And in that case, there's no concern of giving her the mayim together with her friend. So that's the Gemara in Saita. So basically, according to this conclusion, everybody agrees to the drasha that oisa means levada. Likewise, by afaras nadarim, yoni oisa is davka, one isha at a time. Okay, continues the mission. Habogeres sheshaso yud beis chodesh v'alman olamidyon. So the mission here is presenting three separate examples of a arusa, an isha who is engaged to a man. So it's post kiddushin, and it's already past the wedding date. We have three variations of that halacha. So based on the Gemara Le'el of Daf Ayin, the Gemara is read as follows. The Mishnah is read as follows. Habogeres, that's the first case. So she's past 12 and a half. She's already a super adult. So the halacha there is that since she's already older, she's already in that wedding preparation mode for a while. So as long as she's engaged for 30 days, husband has right to set the wedding date, and we consider that to be the wedding date. 30 days into the Begeris age bracket. Next case is Vishashah, so you basically chodesh, that's speaking about a younger girl, a Nara, who needs 12 months of preparation. So once the 12 months are up, it's time for the wedding. Third case is Almana. She was previously married, in which case we say she has 30 days from engagement to marriage because she's already partially prepared from the first time around. Bottom line is, we're speaking about a situation where wedding date has already arrived. What happens now in terms of Afaras Nedarim? They haven't yet actually married, but it's past the wedding date. Rav Elazar Omer, Hoyl Ubalo, Chayav Bimizanis Sehayof. Halacha is, at this point, husband, or future husband, is obligated to support her. He has to feed her. That's the halacha. And therefore, says Rav Elazar, once that happens, she's already partially in his part of his household, let's call it. He's feeding her, even though she's still back home. But since he's looking after her, that gives him the rights to Afaras Nedarim on his own, without the father's involvement. It's as though she's his wife. Rabbi Chacham, no. At this early point, he's not her husband. Ein ha'bal mefer, acha tekonas l'rishusay. Husband can't, assume total control over the nedarim and do it without the father, unless she's actually his wife. Amar Rabbi Lezer, this chiddush of Rabbi Lezer that, past wedding date, when he has to feed her, is treated as though she's his wife in terms of Afaras Nedarim, this Chiddush for Rabbi Elazar. U Mishnah Rishayna, and the earlier version of the Mishnayis, which we're going to see soon, Amru Dover Echad, these two views are consistent with each other. They both will hold this idea that once they get to this, far point in their relationship, it's Higiyah Zman, wedding date arrived, he's Chayv B'Mezonis, she is treated somewhat like his wife, pertaining to certain halachis, Afaras Nedarim, Achilas Truma, we'll see in a minute, if she's an Eshes Kayin, if he's a Kayin. Typically, he won't feed her until she actually marries him. Talking about Truma. But once we get to this advanced stage, he's looking after her, he can feed her even Truma. So, Belazar and Mishnah Rishayna on the same track. That's not. Where do we have the Mishnah Rishayna? Mishnah Rishayna was an earlier version of Mishnayis, which was around even before Rebbe HaKadosh. Rebbe Danossi edited and composed the Mishnayis. He sort of compiled from other versions, and we have many times in Shas a reference to an earlier version of Mishnah's Mishnah Rishayna. This now, Noisnun Lebesulo Yudbeis Chodesh Levanis Atzma. As we referenced before, a besula gets 12 months of preparation time to prepare herself for marriage. Higia yud beis chodesh, once that date arrives, oichelas mishaloi, it's number one, he feeds her, and number two, oichelas betruma, if he's a kohen, he can give a truma as well. Why? So first of all, we should know that minat Torah, once an isha gets engaged, merely engaged to a kohen, she's really eligible for achilas truma. The reason being, the pasuk says, kinyan kaspoy hem yechlo b'lach, that the acquisition of a kohen, whether it's an isha, whether it's a lahavdil an eved, they're eligible for truma. However, midrabbanan, there are several concerns which prevent us from allowing the isha to have truma at this point. Number one, simpoin, disruption. Maybe he'll find something that he doesn't like about her. He'll find a blemish, a mum, which will cancel the kiddushin. In which case, any truma that she ate was really prohibited to her. So in order to avoid that concern, we don't want to take that chance. We say, no truma until you marry. There's another concern. She might, you know, share the food with her family. Since she's still living back home, she's going to send her truma, she might feed it to her siblings which are not kohanim. So on account of those concerns, we don't allow an arusa, an engaged isha, to have her future husband, the kohen's truma. However, once we get to the wedding date, and oicheles mishaloi, he's feeding her. At this point, well, firstly, he certainly checked her out. He's not going to, you know, feed her before he checks out, and he confirms that she's meant for him. So there's no concern of the simpoin disrupting the condition. Number two, she's no longer sharing her food with her siblings because, as the Gemara Ksubas tells us, he was meyachlo duchte. You know, he designates, you know, this is your room, this is where your food is. He doesn't want her to share his food with her siblings. So, bottom line is, those concerns that were prevalent prior to this point in her life don't apply anymore. Echelas mishaloi v'echelas betrum. So this rabbinic concern, this gzera de rabbanan, doesn't apply at this point. That's regarding a regular arusa who is technically eligible for truma from day one of erusin, kinyan kaspar. However, the chacham delay that allowance until we get to the point of higiyas man of the wedding. Aval ayavam, when it comes to a yavam, we are the yavama. It's not kinyan kaspar. His brother passed away with no children. His wife is a yavama. She's his brother's acquisition, not his own. So even though he is awaiting yibum, he has no right to give her a truma if he's a kohen. And we'll have several examples of this case. We have several cases where she never had truma, and she can't have truma until the yavam actually marries her and does yibum. Let's say, you know, out of these 12 months of preparation, 6 months were spent with her husband before he passed away, and as a result, the last 6 months, v'shisha chadashim were b'fnei yavam with the yavam, but it's still prior to actual marriage. Even if the entire 12-month period was spent with the husband, who passed away, you know, on the last day of that 12 months, chaser yomechad, missing just one day, and then she went over to the yavam. Bottom line is, there's no truma yet, because it's still pre-yibum. Or the entire 12-month period was spent with the yavam, chaser yomechad, except for the first day, which was spent with the husband, who passed away, and then she went to the yavam for the next, you know, 12 months minus a day. Bottom line is, in all these cases, she never had truma, because she wasn't married to the first brother. She's not going to have truma with the yavam, unless she actually marries him. Eino yecheles b'truma. Okay. But bottom line is, we're going to focus on the first part. A regular isha, although she's not allowed to have truma during Ederson, for those concerns that we mentioned before, but when it comes to the point of igiyas man, it's already, you know, past the wedding date, he's feeding her, that prohibition is rescinded. Zu Mishnah Rishona, this is in accordance with the earlier version of Mishnayos, who suspended the Isser Chachamim and allow her to have Trum. And the Rabbah, who compared this halacha to Rav Lezer, is assuming that this concept presented by Mishnah Rishona, which allows us to see her as though she's married, even though she's not yet married, but once he's feeding her, she's considered his. She's not just a regular arusa. She's part of his household, so to speak. That is based on Rabbi Lezer's idea, presented in Al Mishnah, that in fact, even when it comes to Dini Torah, You see, by truma, we're dealing with the issue of the Rabbanon, because Min HaTorah is really allowed to have truma from day one. Kinyan Kasper. Chacham were concerned. He said, no truma until the wedding date arrives, when he's feeding her. But it's based on, it's modeled on Rabbi Lezer's halacha that once he's feeding her, Yafir, he can do a faras and durim, she's part of his household. The Chacham Sefer explains that Rabbah figured that it's like in Beis Isha Nadara. Pasuk says when she's part of the husband's household, she's married, he can do that for us in Durim. So even though she's still sitting with her father, she's still back home, she's not yet married, but once the husband is feeding her and he, you know, designates a certain place for that to take place, it's like she's already in the husband's household, in his husband's reshus, in which case he himself, on his own, has rights to do for us in Durim. So that was the presentation by Rabbah, this configuration of linking the Mishnah Rishonah, which allows her to have Truma at this stage, was Rabbi Lezer, who allows the husband to do Afara. Zu Mishnah Rishonah. Avol Bezdin Shalachreim Amru, the following Bezdin, the Bezdin later on, after Mishnah Rishonah's time, cancelled this allowance, and they said, Amru Eina Isha Yecheles Betruma Asher Techanes L'chupa, let's not make any exceptions. The Isha will only have the husband's Truma once she marries. Okay, so bottom line is, says Rabbah, Rabbi Lezer and the Mishnah Rishonah are striding hand in hand. Amalei Abayi responds as follows. Who says? The two things are related. Dumalai, perhaps you can differentiate. Ad kan leika ashmina Mishnah Rishonah. Perhaps even the Mishnah Rishonah, which allows the Isha to have the Truma, once, you know, the husband is feeding her, that's only because, to begin with, this was only a rabbinic concern. Min HaTorah, she can have truma from day one. Ela lomecha b'truma de rabban. It's only when it comes to giving a truma, which is only a rabbanon issue. She might feed her relatives, etc. So that gets laid away once husband is taking care of her. Aval and derm de raisa, when it comes to allowing the future husband to attack her nedarim, which is a din Torah, emaloi, perhaps it wouldn't work. Unless she's married. And likewise, v'ayit kan l'shamas l'Rab Lezer, and perhaps Rab Lezer, Lezer himself wouldn't agree to the din of Truma. Maybe only by Nedarim. Ela gab Nedarim will hold that at this advanced stage, when he's feeding her, she's dependent on him, she's linked to him, she's bound to him. Perhaps there's a new svara to say that, yeah, he has rights to her nedarim. You know why? Because the Rav Pinchas, the Rav of the Amar, who said, "Kol nederes, al das ba'alohi nederes." When a isha makes a neder, it's given to his consent. It's pending his approval. She knows she's dependent upon him for parnasa, etc. She wants to be good with him, and she's bound to him. It's like she conditioned her neder pending his approval. So therefore, Blaza holds, you know, just like we say it by a regular Isha who's already married, perhaps even. She's not yet married, but once he's feeding her, she's dependent upon him, she's being supported by him. Her nether is pending his approval. And that allows him to do a first Nadarim. That's a unique idea related to Nadarim. Aval Truma, when it comes to offering her Truma, when she's not yet married to the Kohen, afilu midrabbanan amaliyachla, perhaps over the, even though it's just a chashash to Rabbanan, she might feed her relatives, etc. Perhaps even Rabbi Lezer would agree she's not entitled to Truma at this early stage. So according to Abaye, the two things are unrelated. When it comes to Truma, we have Mishnah Rishonah, which says, you know, at this point, okay, he's feeding her, let her have the Truma. But when it comes to the Nedarim, who says? What does Rabbi Lezer, who allows a first nedarim at this point, perhaps it's only by a first nedarim because of the svara of al das ba'alohi nederes. Initially, her neder was established with that sort of precondition in mind, pending his approval. Now, the Ran has a kasha. He says, you know, we do find that everybody, even the Rabbanon, it's not just Rabbi Lezer's idea. This idea of al das ba'alohi nederes is mentioned in Gemara Nida, even by Iktana. A minor who was married off by mother or brother, father's not around. So the marriage is only with the Rabbanon. We say that this pseudo-husband can do a faras and darim. What do you mean? He's not really married to her, Minatir. And the answer is, Adas Baal Hinadaris. Because when Isha is in a marriage relationship, she's doing her darim with this in mind. So the Ran says, you're right. Everybody agrees to this concept. The Chiddush here is that even though she's not yet married, that's Rabbi Elazar's Chiddush. And that's the point of Machlekes. Rabbanon say, yeah, by a Ketana who's really married, even though it's only the Rabbanon, but she's married to him. There we say she's totally bound to him and her nether is conditioned upon his approval. But this Isha who's not yet married, even though the wedding date is beyond them and he's feeding her, Rabbanon say, no, it's not the same. And Rabbi Elazar disagrees. He says, even at this point, we say, Adas, Bala, and Nedera, she's already enough connected to him that we can apply this concept. Now, the Ram does point out another thing. He says, some would say that based on this Gemara, Adas, Bala, and Nedera, likewise, any person, let's say I make a nether, and I have in mind, I'm only doing it, you know, appending XYZ's approval. I didn't actually say it. I didn't express it as a condition, but I was mindful of that factor. I'm making the nether, assuming XYZ approves the nether. So he brings down that some held, based on this Gemara, indeed it is dependent on that person's approval, but the Ran disagrees. He says it's a big mistake. Because really, this idea that an Isha makes a nether, Adas Bala, that is the very essence of the Parsha of Afaras Nedarim, where the Torah enables a husband to nullify his wife's nether. This idea is introduced by the Torah and is exclusive to a husband and wife relationship. In fact, you know, there's a big kasha on this Gemara. The Gemara and Yevamos also brings this Svara, and I think it's the Tesis Rid over there who says, what do you mean? So then, if we assume that an Isha is always making a nether, Adas, Bala, so why do we need the entire parsha of Afaras Nedarim? It's like a nether with a condition. So just scratch out the whole parsha of Afaras Nedarim. It depends on the husband's approval, and if he wants it, fine. If not, not. So Tesis Rid says, that is exactly what the parsha of Afaras Nedarim is introducing us. Is it presenting to us? Is it being mechadish to us? This idea that, yes, there is this concept of making a nether al das her husband. And therefore, it depends upon his wishes. Therefore, says the Ran, this is unique to an Isha and a Baal. Who's living with him? Who's dependent upon him? And the Torah introduces us to this idea that an Isha's mindset is so dependent on her husband's, you know, haskama, his approval, his confirmation, that in fact, that gives him the power of Afaras Nedarim, but doesn't apply to a regular individual. So yes, if Reuben conditions, he clearly conditions his nether upon Shimon's approval, that's a tonight, fine. But he doesn't condition it. He claims that in his mind, he was doing it al da. You know what? Okay, that was today. Maybe tomorrow will change it. It's not a true dependence. He doesn't really have that dependence upon Shimon like a wife to her husband. And the Torah only activates this system, applies this idea by a Baal with an Isha. And that is the crux, that is the essence of the parsha of Afaras Nedarim, which allows a husband to do Afar upon his wife's nether. And Rabbi Elazar takes it a bit further. He says, look, as long as we're speaking about a Baal and an Isha, who are so close to marriage, we can stretch it and apply it to this case as well. Adas, Bala, Hinaderas applies to this case as well. And on that, the Chacham take issue. It only applies to a truly married husband and wife. Okay, so in summation, does a husband have to make his hafara after a Shemiya or even before Shemiya? That was one question. And assuming you don't need to have the Shemiya, but what if he can't possibly hear? He's a cherish. So on the second thing, we have a raya that a cherish is not roy because he's not roy to be mekayim the shmiya. Now regarding actual, you know, a person who's not a cherish, does he have to actually do the for after the shmiya? So the Ramban says it's not mi'akev. That's the Ramban's shita. It's not mi'akev. and it's only the Cheresh who can't possibly hear the Neder, and he says that's also the Das HaRambam. Now, if he has two wives with Nedarim, can he do one package deal? The Ran brings La Halacha that he cannot, because Oysa, the Heini Oysa, is Dafka. I have a Chiddush from Rabbi Lezer, that even if it's in a pre-marriage state, but once he's feeding her, the Isha's Das is Al Das Bala, and therefore he could do a Farsh Nedarim at this point. Chachamim disagree. They say, Eina Bal Mefer, until she's actually his, Achit Tukhanis Lushusai. All the best to you and have Hatzlacha Rabbah.